Right, Vincent Eastwood. We're trying to get him on the air.
Vinny Eastwood, he's from New Zealand, eh?
Vinny.
I think so.
Vinny Eastwood.
Republican
Portland, Oregon.
I'm on air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right. Now, well, where exactly can I go to the stream to listen to this?
So
I can record it on my other computer.
I tell you what, yeah, it's I'll drop the link in the chat, right, or the Skype.
In the Skype chat, I'll do.
Yeah,
I'll just put that right there.
Hello, Vinny.
Hello, who's that there? Sounds familiar.
It's Captain Proton here, but I love your shows, I must say.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I do follow them quite a lot. I find your humour very nice.
Well, some say it's refreshing because everything's so frickin' disastrous!
Welcome. Welcome.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody's so frickin' serious, and the problem is that you get nothing more but more serious news, so it gets even more serious, and it's like this it's like compound interest, you know? Like you're getting loan-sharked on your happiness, you know? It's like you're indebted to depression, and only happiness will set you free, you know?
Serious is skin deep here.
Yeah!
There's no fucking anything serious here. It's all bullshit. Look at the captain of the ship. It's Charlie fucking Manson.
No, man. Yeah, we try to keep it light on the show. I mean, when we can, whenever we can get good guests and whatnot. But sometimes I touch on, you know, the deeper type subjects. But yeah, man, we try to have some cocktails and fucking give each other shit and have a good time during the show as well.
You need a balance, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Vinny Eastwood, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, man.
I've heard your show a few times on RBN, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You know, we have basically just have a really fun time playing around because I found that everybody's getting a little bit, I don't know, edgy, is the word? Have you ever had, like, a family member or something say something really stupid, like promoting vaccines or something, and you just suddenly flip your lid and want to stab them in the face with a syringe of some description? You see, how do you deal with that?
Plug your show.
It's inextricable. The show is the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. I don't like it to be Vinny with an IE because when you put IE in front of a sentence, it means it's an example. And I don't want to be an example to anybody. I think you really kind of have to choose to be your own example.
Wow, you're right on top of Google search, man. That's nice. You pop up there really fast.
I know. Wow. That's what I like about being Vinny Eastwood, because there's bugger all other Vinny Eastwoods.
Perfect. Nice sight, man.
There was some dude on Facebook who messaged me named Vinny Eastwood, and I say, hey, Vinny. He's like, hey, Vinny.
is that your real name? Is your last name?
Oh, yeah. That's for real, bro. In fact, I was born without a name for 11 days until my parents came up with a real awesome one.
Yeah, that is a cool one, man.
You weren't in any spaghetti westerns, were you?
No, but I did study spaghetti westerns back in the day, and I came up with a joke. I'm in the habit of coming up with jokes. What do you call a pasta dish made with wildebeest?
I don't know.
Serengeti bolognese. I just like to come up with really lame jokes like that, you know. It's great.
It's horrible.
A little bit of fun.
It's horrible.
Deplorable.
That one's for Snake Man.
Yeah,
that's deplorable.
You should hang your head in shame. You should
Well, I find that it's the worst jokes that are often the funniest because you don't necessarily laugh at how funny they are. You just laugh at how horrible they are, so you laugh anyway.
Absolutely.
And it's the process of cackling that releases endorphins. So, you know, I think it's a necessary evil. I mean, after all, I think that when we're talking about our elections and such like that, they're fucking funny, aren't they? It's hilarious. You know, it's like the Prime Minister, John Key, our Prime Minister, he's been working for the Federal Reserve Bank for 2 years, right? And they're in charge of derivatives, incidentally, which caused the financial crisis. And then he comes back home after 20, 30 years, robbing the global economy, ripping off pension funds, and running bankster schemes of varying sizes and description. Seemingly out of nowhere, becomes leader of the opposition party and gets elected Prime Minister soon after. It's inexplicable. I can't believe it.
Was it a sweeping victory for him, an overwhelming majority vote for this guy?
Yeah, pretty much. And he then even did an even bigger majority thing, right? Because we've got coalition partners and whatnot. So we've got this ultra... Like, not only did he get the majority in the House anyway, but he also then formed a coalition with two other minor parties, the Māori Party, which is like, you know, the indigenous... tribes or what have you have all elected lawyers to represent them, and now those lawyers and heads of the tribal councils and stuff like that are ripping off all the assets of all the people that belong to the tribe, sort of thing. And so they created their own party so that they can continue to do that in government. It's the same thing. That's why they call it a New World Order, because it's fucking everywhere.
We're in the Commonwealth. You're in Commonwealth.
Yeah. Nuclear-free New Zealand.
I lived there for 2 years. I had a good time.
Yeah, yeah. We've got great guns here.
Now fuck off, Pat.
Yeah, they do.
Fuck you.
I can't get, like, the weed in
fucking long-haired American.
Ridiculous.
Wear me shit.
They fucking, like...
is this your American Autumn? Is this what they're calling it, the American Autumn? This fucking Occupy Wall Street is the best that America can summon? Is a bunch of fucking sheep that can be led around by the cops in fucking downtown. They didn't even get to Wall Street because they have it blocked off.
Hey guys, by the way, I think we got the man, the legend, Rob Revere on the big show as well.
Wow,
the man, the legend. Oh, I'm just so stoned right now.
The main pillar behind Revere Radio.
There he is with that fucking awesome radio voice.
You like that, huh? That's my closing voice.
Is that the 40 cigarettes an hour voice?
Yeah.
40 cigarettes an hour.
So what's going on? I'm missing out on the conversation.
Well, we're talking about the Wall Street protests and how fucking bogus they are and how copious quantities of anti-capitalist dipshit fuckwit tards are just clustering around there like cockroaches over a dying corpse that is America, claiming for more socialism to solve the problem of capitalism, which ain't actually capitalism at the moment. It's actually socialism and has been that way since 1914.
Wow. Agreed.
Wow, yeah. Spoken like you're an American or something. Jesus Christ.
This guy's on fire, man.
Yeah, I know. Somebody get me an extinguisher and a gurney over here, because this is the illest shit I've ever seen.
you illustrate and did it very nicely. I mean, these are our greatest hope. Apparently, our brightest students are out there right now, and this is the best that we can come up with. This is our quote unquote American Autumn. This is not. You can't compare the uprising in Egypt or the uprisings that are ongoing right now in the Middle East to anything remotely resembling.
I think it's America's Summer's Eve.
I don't think it's a positive thing when Michael Moore gets involved. I want to see Michael Less get involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get that fat commie fuck the hell out of the headline, okay? He's a useless...
$200 million with.
Yeah, he's got fabulous films, which are good if you want to, like, educate elementary school children into conceivably getting into the idea of a new world order. But beyond that, he's a complete coincidence theorist. Which means he thinks everything happens by accident.
We're in the year 2011, and my father is still a Jehovah's Witness. And he called me tonight, and he says, "So, Bob, what do you think about these people down on Wall Street?" And I said, "Well, Dad, let me tell you." And I used two words that he acted like he knew what I was talking about, but I know in my heart of hearts that he really had no fucking clue what I was trying to say. But the two words that I used were controlled opposition.
And, and,
Bingo.
This whole
bingo.
He actually asked you what you thought about it, and that's something I've not, you know, within the last couple of years with my own family, they're starting to come around, and so I don't think is lost. People are coming around, man. Even the ones that we thought were fucking hopeless.
How do you explain though the divide between, say, the meteoric rise, quote unquote, of Herman Cain, and the total obliteration of anything Ron Paul?
Well, yeah, I can definitely, and I don't know whether I said it Friday night or not, but I know that I've expressed it to a couple of people so far, and that said, I can really see Cain versus Obama election in 2012.
Wow.
The Republicans are going to put their black guy up there, and the Democrats are going to put their black guy that originally won up there, and now we're going to see which one's going to get it done.
You know what they're doing? They're cycling through the races, because as each race loses credibility, they have to jump ship to another one, right?
Now we know
that old white guys are no longer to be trusted, so a white guy can never be president of the United States again. After our Lord and Savior Barack H. O. Barry, or Barry Satoru, or as I call him, President BS for short, because that's his initials. Now black men have no credibility in the United States. I can guarantee, and then it'll be Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
Then there'll be Hillary Clinton. They'll say, trust the vagina. And then when white women aren't trusted anymore, then Mrs. Obama will go running for president. And then they'll say, oh, we can't vote for black women now. And then they'll have a Hispanic president.
Oh, you're forgetting, man. We have a whole pool of fucking Native American, Apaches, Sioux, Blackfoot.
Need a fit American Indian president.
Well, my oldest son.
That would be cool, dog, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Having an American Indian. Yeah, American Indian president. That would be good.
Yes.
Well, because then everybody would realize that the New World Order is multiracial, multicultural, and multi gonna fuck you over all.
But I think no matter what, there's always going to be, whether it be the United States or whether it be some little bumfuck Egypt somewhere, that will be the America. There will always be an America, or an America-type nation, I feel, where we truly, stick to our guns, so to speak. I mean, I think it's a very fair statement to say. As much as there's people out there fighting for the country that we grew up with, that we no longer have, that we'll never get back, there are also people out there that are fighting to, you know, create their own sovereign nations, and then it all starts with themselves. Look at the sovereign movement, which so far hasn't necessarily been corrupted, but I will say that it has been demonized. And there's a lot of, you know, smart people that are simply trying to be self-sufficient and keep government out of their lives by being their own, you know, king of their castle, so to speak.
Well, I'll be quite honest, Rob. I can see where you're coming from there, but I think the sovereign movement in England is being corrupted something chronic at the moment.
Well, I think
really, because I don't get any, you know, news from the UK like that to be able to, you know, corroborate what you're saying here. So I really want to know. I mean, tell me, how is it being, you know, taken over or what have you?
Well, I'm not mentioning any names or anything like that, but it is certainly being co-opted slightly. There's no doubt about that, you know. So I'm just watching what's going on.
I always think that if your argument is that you're going to use words and thoughts and testimony against an enemy that uses tanks and smart bombs and assassination, you're not going to win.
Right, right.
That's the problem, because unless we have a similar level of military capability of these people, they're not going to be fully afraid of us in court. Now, at the point we're in now, we're starting to come up with a rivalry against the mass media. There's more than enough alternative media now popping up all over the place, like pimples on the back of the giant scumbaggery filth that run the country covered in pork skin, eating bullshit out of a trough, than ever before. We've now got the capability of brainwashing people into knowing the truth, rather than brainwashing them into believing a lie. And it's just the aggregate, really. You know, if you talk about the 9/11 truth movement, for example, you search 9/11 was an inside job on YouTube, tens of thousands of videos out there with a few thousand hits each. And then, of course, if you say 9/11 wasn't an inside job, you'll maybe get like 10 videos, 20, 100, or 1,000 or so, much, much less with a few more hits kind of thing. And it's basically like this. We're in the aggregate now the rulers of the internet, the conspiracy theorist rules online. And we know that we do because you can't even get a freaking Britney Spears video up online now without 10 or 12 9/11 was an inside job videos posted in the comments section.
Right. those are dropping info bombs.
So could I?
Yeah.
So we could safely say then the movement that's taking place, or this rising up of the quote unquote American people, is really more orchestrated than it is grassroots, as opposed to what took place in England that is now being co-opted in the UK.
Oh wow! Well,
I think Rob wanted to say something. Rob from Jersey, not the man, the legend, revered. The man, the legend from Jersey, I think wanted to say something.
I'm sorry to break into the conversation, but I think the sovereign movement, from listening back, was pretty much destroyed by 9/11. And before that, the false flag was Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good mm-hmm. point. Yeah.
And I learned this from like that Loop dude, Loop Radio. But back then, he was like a Oklahoma City trooper, and people don't even talk about Oklahoma City as being an inside job.
Yeah,
and that was like the real fucking bullshit.
That's an excellent point. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah, I couldn't stop that fucking Brit or New Zealand fucker to shut the fuck up. So fucking point.
I actually interviewed what was his name, but Dr. Bill Deagle, who was the person who blew the whistle on the Oklahoma City building and said that they took out three nuclear devices and. When he tried to report that, they said, look, we're going to fucking kill you. And so he goes, righto, sure you're going to. So he walks into their office, slaps down a piece of paper on the table, and he goes, sign it. They go, what am I signing? And says, you're going to give me a year's wages, and you're going to leave me the fuck alone. Otherwise, I know where you live, and I'm going to kill every person in this room, and you know I can do it. He got his year's wages, and they never bothered him again.
But to Oklahoma City, that's fucked up. Nobody really even talks about that shit.
Yeah,
we have a very inconvenient memory for our past, and Oklahoma certainly would be the
catalyst.
No, the catalyst, and even Waco would be more. Ruby Ridge,
Ridge,
and we still don't get it. We still don't get the message. And that's what I'm seeing is going to take place, or I have a gut feeling that we're going to shoot somebody at the Occupy Wall Street or Occupy the Fed. Something's going to get out of hand, and this is going to go sideways. Perhaps that's what they want.
And perhaps, then again, maybe that's what's needed. Maybe we do need to just have a big fucking shitstorm and then sort shit out from there. I mean, I'm just throwing shit out there. I'm not saying I believe that 100%, but
the reckoning.
The day of reckoning. We need a day of reckoning.
Well, you know, that kind of was the. If you look at the monument that they put up there in Oklahoma City, since then, you'll see the gates that are marked with the time that time stood still, when the time froze, the moment that explosion happened there in Oklahoma City. And when you think about what's happened since then, you know, we had something even bigger that happened, which was played out in front of the entire world with 9/11. So I have to agree with Robin Jersey with the sovereign movement really coming to an end, or not necessarily coming to an end, but getting a bad name and a bad rap with Oklahoma City. But that was just the start of what was to become the Patriot Act. And where we are the terrorists. We're the ones that are being searched and having body scans done of us. Not, you know what I mean? Not them. They're actually able to sneak underwear bombs on the plane. I mean, we couldn't do that if we wanted to. I can't even put a joint. I can't even keister some weed and take it somewhere, you know?
And in some TSA checkpoints, you can't even take your balls in with you.
Hey, there was a story that made news here recently regarding the TSA. This black chick had, you know, she was a hairdresser, a cosmetologist. And, you know, so she had a bit of style about her. And I guess she was rocking a real retro style with this big old Michael Jackson 1973 afro. And she had already cleared the, you know, the checkpoint. She went through the scanner and everything. And then she had already left the security area and was headed to her terminal when the TSA basically chased her down and said, ma'am, we've got to check your hair for weapons. I mean, and to think about, you know, her not being in a closed area behind, where this could be done privately in a non-embarrassing manner. I mean, in front of everybody, you've got something to the equivalent of the school nurse going through this lady's afro, looking for, I don't know, maybe explosive Jerry Curl juice. I don't know what they were looking for, yes. But she's put up a big stink about it. It was a story. I don't know whether you've seen it or not.
But it's just more of this dehumanizing shit, because they know that it's like a pet peeve of black people, you know, the nappy-headed fucking thing where you can hide shit in your afro, which is total fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but listen.
They
now,
just fucking break us down, man.
Well, yeah, but now listen. So, you know,
the man is trying to mess with my afro.
As much disdain as I have, you know, for the TSA, really what they are just normal, everyday people, because, I had to come to this realization when I went to, my son was trying out for football. Well, one of the other mothers of one of the kids was there, and she was dressed in uniform, and I wanted to see what kind of uniform she had on, you know, because it wasn't one that I encounter every day. Well, as I got close to her, I realized, well, she was a TSA agent. Well, you know, she gave me a really nice smile and gave me a nice nod and basically acknowledged me and, you know, said hello in passing. And so really, I think, you know, deep down, they're just... They've got a boss to answer to, what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Working. Yeah, they're basically working class people.
Now I feel the exact opposite for a police officer. This past Saturday, or no, it was Friday. I got pulled over at 11 o'clock at night. And the officer, who wouldn't even approach my window, he stood behind my window where I couldn't make eye contact with him, and who knew, it was probably for his own safety in case he had a gun or something, you know what I'm saying? He'd have some sort of an advantage on me. But the point being is, he says, do you know why I pulled you over? Oh, I had no clue why he pulled me over, so the obvious answer was no. And he says, your tag light is out, the little light that shines on your license plate. And I got to thinking to myself, really? I mean, this is what crime fighting is? This is what your job is? This is not your job. I mean, to sit here and thank God I'm not committing any other crimes that you've given me a warning and I'm leaving, but you really fucked up my night looking for a crime.
You're a dangerous fucking patriot, man, so he had every right to fucking stand back from your car and get ready to fucking blow your head off.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a dangerous fucking patriot, Robert.
Thank God I had three kids in the car with me.
Oh, man.
That wouldn't have stopped them. Have you noticed how hopped up and steroided and paranoid these fucking cops are nowadays,
yeah.
Man?
Yeah.
Hey,
oh, yeah.
Get down on the ground! He's got a cookie! Get down on the ground! He's got a fucking nut racist car! Oh, my God!
Charlie and crew,
thank you
for letting me join you tonight. I'm hauling ass. I got to put kids to bed.
Oh, hey, man, it's a pleasure, man.
All right.
It's good to have you on the show, man. We'll talk at you later, dude.
Bye now.
All right. Have a good one.
Wow.
Yeah, man, we got all these pop-up police state, you know? It's like one of those pop-up books, you know? Suddenly a cop pops out of the book and cracks you on the head with a nightstick. That's what going to a protest is like now. It's really kind of surprising. The other, on October the 1st, I went to a protest on Auckland and Queen Street, and all of a sudden, 45 cops turn up. There were only 65 protesters. Yeah. It's unbelievable. These people are freaking crap. And incidentally, the paddy wagons that they turned up with were German made. Volkswagens.
Wow.
Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil!
I love it. I love fascism. And I've been sitting around watching, you know, conspiracy movements in the US going off for years about how fascism has come to America and it will soon come to you. So I knew it would come soon. And sure enough, voila! Here it is. We've got fascism in New Zealand. We've got fascism in
It's inevitable now. Much like with Mussolini in Italy, fascism was like a fashion. Mussolini was like the pimp extraordinaire. The guy wore flashy clothes. He was a fucking a fascist rock and roll superstar.
Their tagline was "Get your fash on." You know, this is I have absolutely no respect for those kind of scum. And here's the definition of fascism. Are you ready? The use of public-private partnerships to whittle away the size of the state and replace it with corporations. How many people are sitting there out there who think, there's lots of public-private partnerships going over in my country right now at the moment? Aren't there? That's the central plank of the fascist manifesto.
Oh, hey, honestly,
well, the central bank is the first bank.
Fascism was all about corporatism, letting the corporate heads of corporations come in to rule the government. I thought that was basically the textbook definition of fascism, is letting
Correct.
The corporate heads
corporatism.
Corporatism control the government.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Which essentially
that's
it does anyway.
That's what public-private partnerships do.
You give
a resource that you already own as the people of the country. You give the control of that resource to a company. That company then basically becomes something that runs your government resources for you. And before you know it, you've got private corporations running everything. Contractors are doing everything. Government employees anymore, apart from like working at the TSA, groping small children and your titties and whatnot. And also, incidentally, there'll be heaps and heaps of private police officers. Now, there's even a community in the United States that has a private police force driving around in like Mercedes-Benz freaking four-wheel drives and stuff like that with submachine guns in the glove compartment.
No, there's not only one community. Death squads really are a reality in the States. Not a lot of people know about it, but...
Have a good night, Paul.
Paul, yeah, take care, night, man. God bless
England. Yeah. Later, Cappy. Have a good... Thanks
for coming. It's just getting late here, guys. It's a
you have a good night,
school
sir.
Night. It's a school night.
It's been
He's got pussy in the morning. He's got to tend the pussy in the morning. He has to leave. You got to let him be.
Priorities, bro. Priorities.
Exactly.
All right, Cappy, man. Thanks.
Have a good night,
man.
Sir.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Have a good night, everybody. Okay.
America.
I'm Canada.
I love.
Good night, Captain Proton.
Good night.
God bless England.
Yes, and blame Canada.
All right, you guys want to break it up with a short break?
Yeah.
You guys go take a pee, get a drink,
whatever.
We're going to have a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
We'll be half-assed back.
Good night.
Half-assed level.
It's 102.1. We'll be right back.
I've never heard of yours either.
Well, that's why I brought you two together.
Yeah, no, believe me, yeah, we're like kindred.
Yeah, we could smell our own kinds.
No, we're like kindred spirits.
I mean, wait, this is a children's show.
You fit right in. And yeah, you fit right in the mix on this show, and I mean that in an insulting manner, because, yeah, we're all a bunch of dirty fucking white trash Americans on this show, except for Snake Man, of course. No, but really, I try to spread it out globally. We have TL regularly on the show. We have Bryzer from Ireland regularly on the show. We have El Capitano, our captain. He's on the show all the time. But, yeah, man, it's good to hear the New Zealand perspective, man.
Well, that's what I thought was the deal. Like, heaps of people asked me, Vinny, you know, you're in New Zealand. How come you're on American radio? And I said, well, no, I guess they just like the accent.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. It is.
I thought you were Scottish.
It is the accent.
Ah, Scotsman sounds like this, you fucking bastard.
I'm just teasing you, man.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know the difference between a Kiwi accent and an Aussie accent. You know what I mean?
That's pretty sad.
Here's how you tell the difference. A Aussie, can't say the word I or E in two different sentences. Like, you could ask them for a pin, or you could ask them for a pen, and that, to them it sounds exactly like the same word. So, can you pass me the pen?
Not only that, like, when they say O, the letter O, they always say oi.
Yeah, that's right. And they also, instead of saying the word, the letter H, okay, they say the letter H, like they pronounce H with a H. And I think that this is just absolutely poor schooling technique. And we need to pass draconian legislation in order to wipe out this kind of nonsense. Okay, I'm going to call it the anti-H speech bill.
Well, isn't English actually really a bad fucking language?
It's a mongrel language. It's a mixture of Latin and French and Greek.
They dumbed us down.
By the way, have you guys seen that? There's a new movie coming out now called Anonymous, and it's all about the Sir Francis Bacon controversy that he was the man behind Shakespeare. Have you guys seen these ads?
Yeah, Francis Bacon was a real nasty little piece of work. He was actually the one to set up the court system that later is used to enslave everybody. He's the guy who originally wrote how the court system was supposed to be working. And I'm not afraid of him, though, because I eat bacon for breakfast.
Well, he's been dead for quite a while as well. But that being said, that kind of blew me away. I was seeing because I watch Hulu a lot.
What does Snake Man think about that?
What?
Snake Man, what did you think about that movie?
I actually read that Francis Bacon had written.
I couldn't believe they're making like a they're making like a mainstream movie about this, about fucking Sir Francis Bacon being the original author. They're making a mainstream movie about it now.
Of course they are, bro. That's how most conspiracy theories get released to the public in a fictional format, so that when anybody says that's real, they say, oh, you just saw it in a movie. No, you haven't been watching too many movies. The movie makers can't stop looking at reality.
Plausible deniability, man.
Whatever he said, I just tag on to that.
Well, it's just basically this whole kind of conditioning mechanism, right? Every single movie that gets released now is some description of zombie movie, and I theorize that that's because the Hollywood films companies want to reconnect with the bulk of their audience, because everybody's walking around there like a fucking zombie these days, aren't they? And so naturally, they'll want to go in and see characters they can identify with.
They've only been zombies now because they've been showed this fucking kind of reality, right?
I thought about that as well, man. That like the whole zombie apocalypse and shit. Sure. Like that. I'm sorry, Rob.
And if it's not a zombie apocalypse, it's an alien apocalypse. And if it's not an alien apocalypse, it's a dangerous terrorist who has a certain amount of weaponry who's trying to take over the world apocalypse. So, you know, it's apocalypse after apocalypse. There's the Book of Eli. Everybody's being conditioned to think about the end of the world. Even that huge, massive billboard campaign with the campers and everything like that about that dude who was predicting the end of the motherfucking world, that was apparently a very, very big psyop that was played on the people so that they could be surveilled and sent to thinking how they'd react to this kind of news.
I yield the mic to Vincent Eastwood. Good.
Yeah. Have we all lost our freaking minds? Have we all started to think that the other people on the end of that screen know more about common sense than we do? There's no such thing as common sense anymore because, you know, the commoner doesn't have any money. So how could they have any sense? It doesn't matter. These people are crazy. They're insane. They want to just blow everything completely out of proportion so that it doesn't freaking matter anymore. So everybody will just lose heart, give up, and say, oh, well, it's just predicted in the end of the Bible, so there's fuck all I can do about it. I'm just going to sit back and read a few more pages of it instead of getting out in the street and throwing the bankers out of the goddamn temple.
I yield the mic to you, Vincent Eastwood. Go ahead.
I yield the mic to Senator Eastwood from Texas for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you need to work on your fucking American accent and get some fake ID and come to the States and fucking take charge.
Dude,
man.
Thank you
dude,
for rolling over me.
I can so pull that shit off, man. I could do it. Like, seriously, I can grow my beard right out, man. It'll be fucking awesome.
Have a good night, everyone.
Hey.
Rob from New Jersey.
Oh, Rob is gone. Rob is out.
Brought to you by Tylenol.
Brought to you by Tylenol and the fine folks at Ten High Whiskey. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Ten High Whiskey is also brought to you in partnership with Rohypnol.
Rohypnol, do not use when driving or sleeping.
Rohypnol, how dare you touch on my weak point. Oh, my God, I'm going
blind. Side effects may include drowsiness, nausea, heart pain.
I don't know. I've made the conscious decision to go bald gracefully. But, yeah, I don't understand. I don't know, man. I grew up in a family with bald men. You know, I don't understand as... Why not be bald? Why not?
There's nothing wrong with not having any hair on one's head. But I think society has conditioned us to think that there's something wrong with that.
Look, I mean, there's certain areas of the body where it doesn't really matter if it's hairless, and there's certain areas of the body where if you haven't got anything growing there, it's a real warning sign.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So if you're bald, if you're bald on top...
I met in New Jersey once on the
ferry. Oh, yeah?
No. Just joking.
It never happened. That happened to my cousin.
I didn't say that on the air. That can be deleted out of the show.
Yeah. Except on the show.
Yeah, I shall edit the show. Yeah, as soon as we're done, I'm going to edit that out. Yeah.
Yeah. For the children that listen. We have a lot of children that listen to this.
Yeah, we got to think of the children, guys.
We've got to edit it out of the tranny script. Now, speaking of. Freddie May and Tranny Mac. Have you seen what Lady Gaga is getting up to now? She's seriously the most psychotically crazy freaking woman that I've ever laid eyes on in my life. And apparently everybody freaking loves her.
Hey,
I don't even know what she's saying. I was
watching an episode of the original Star Trek the other day, and I shit you not.
Lady Gaga was in there.
There was the original Star Trek from the early 70s. There was
Lady
this
Gaga.
Chick that looked exactly like Lady Gaga. She was I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's where they're abducted this planet of warriors where they fight for the amusement of these other guys, and this Lady Gaga chick shows dressed totally like Lady Gaga, has green hair.
I remember that episode.
Her face looked exactly like Lady Gaga. She had, like, the beak nose. And I was blown away. Yeah, and she actually kicked fucking Kirk's ass.
Not surprising. Oh, yeah. He's from Montreal, Canada. And
she's powered by the internal energy of Lucifer.
She is. She's the incarnate. You know, Madonna used to be the Lady Gaga of the 20th century, and now Lady Gaga is the psychotic, zombified version.
Yeah, they did a transition ceremony from the Queens where Madonna came down these 13 black and white Masonic steps on stage and then made out with Britney Spears and Lady Gaga to pass on the queenship,
it was Britney Spears and
Christina Aguilera. Yeah.
That's one of
like
my
it,
favorite all-time
like it
videos.
Matters.
There's some of my ultimate videos. I have it on my YouTube as a favorite. When I have my intimate moments with myself, I like to masturbate to that. I find it quite erotic.
I found an interesting story about Lady Gaga. She had a friend named Lena Morgana, and apparently she jumped off like this five-story building or hotel and killed herself
recently.
And yeah, her mom is like trying to sue Lady Gaga because she says right after she died, Lady Gaga stole her style and became popular. And some of the more like conspiracy people think that it was like an Illuminati blood sacrifice or something to rise herself up.
That's why
they do shit like that all the time, man. There's like what 300,000 kids get kidnapped in the United States each year.
Yeah.
And I just heard this recording today. This guy who runs the Synagogue of Satan, Abe Finkelstein, I think his name is. And what?
Chuck Lorre.
You get more Jewy than Abe Finkelstein.
Oh, you can't do it. No. And he was basically saying that us, the Goyim, are so stupid that they don't even realize that the mass amount of child kidnapping isn't being reported. And he says that what they do at his synagogue is they actually bring these children in, bleed them out, and then they dispose of the bodies in their meat factories where they supply a lot of the beef and sausage and hamburger meat for chains like McDonald's. And so what everybody's doing now is when they're going to McDonald's for their sausage in the morning and their hamburger at lunch, they're eating their own children. And because you're stupid Goyim, you'll never even wake up to it, even if we told you. So you deserve to have that happen. That's what these people really think like, man. They're fucking psychotic.
Now, that actually gets to my next point, which is my favorite guy, Charles Giuliani at Oracle Network. Talk about the elite pick. And I'm amazed every time that I come back to this network periodically and just tune in that there is that level of anti-Semitism going on, that kind of rhetoric. When this is a, as you said so eloquently before, Vinny, this is a multicultural fuck you order, and to be sidetracked by, you know, Obama or his birth certificate or his ethnicity or what have you is really unfortunate. And they even have the black community now coming out and forming their own. I saw this the other day in New York, their own Tea Party for support of Obama. And it's unfortunate that even the black community, the quote-unquote Harlem community in New York City, does not get that Obama is connected to Goldman Sachs, which is connected to the Fed, which is connected to the fucking devil.
Right, man. And not only that, I mean, look, there's hijinks going on at the upper levels of all the various religious communities and countries. But, man, the more you look into the Jews, you go back to the Old Testament. I mean, granted, the Talmud is a very sickening book. But that being said, at some point, the Jews oftentimes in the Old Testament were controlled by various other factions, such as Xerxes of the Persians and the Babylonians as well. They would often come.
God damn it, Charles, I knew this fucking book knowledge was going to fucking come to this.
No, and they would come in there, and they would wipe out the Jewish community, and they would do a brain... They would come into Jerusalem, wipe out their fucking community, tear down their temple, and they would do a brain drain, and they would take them back to fucking Babylonia and Iran or Persia. And I'm not saying that Iranians or Persians are the devil that control the Jews. But what I'm saying is that oftentimes the people who are put out there on the front lines are put out there for a reason. So we'll hate them. Meanwhile, there are reptoids or whoever in the background controlling them. Go ahead over a common propaganda trick. Go ahead over.
Yep. Yeah. Well, see, this is the problem: people want to get pigeon. People for some reason both want to be pigeonholed and pigeonhole others at the exact same time. So that's why when you talk about Jews, Israel, or Zionism, or anything, if you want to talk about black people, Asian secret societies, blah, 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 there is, as far as I'm concerned, only one race that exists. It's called the fucking human race, and we're all members of it. I don't give a shit what color your skin is or what genetic defects you have or whatever. If you're an asshole, you deserve to be criticized.
Yeah, man.
If you're a scumbag, you deserve to be exposed.
This brings up an interesting point because you mentioned it in passing, and maybe it was tongue-in-cheek, but what about the alien agenda? Do you think that there might actually be extraterrestrial forces behind all this crap? Go ahead, over.
Oh, fuck. There's so many people that I've interviewed who've had, you know, abduction experiences or interviewed people while they were on air, and then suddenly they've been flying along on a plane following a UFO, and then suddenly their line gets crackled and that kind of thing just disappears. There is so much shit that goes down that it's just fucking unbelievable. I watched a documentary last night about how these people, when they were being repeatedly abducted by aliens. At one point, they started saying, "Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me!" And the aliens disappeared. They couldn't handle it. So they gave rise to a theory that aliens are in fact partly demonic.
Or, right? Or there's another way to come at it. Aliens are actually, I mean, granted, this is me watching way too much Battlestar Galactica, but if you look at the Cylons in Battlestar Galactica, they're always trying to turn the humans on to God. And this is after the humans have already sort of descended back into paganism, and they worship multiple gods. And meantime, the Cylons keep telling them, the ones that they're in contact with, look, you have to repent. You have to turn your soul back over to God. And so you can come at it from two perspectives. You can say that
why only two? We could come at it from like 300. Yeah. We could come at it from 357.5 directions.
The thing is you could say A, they're demons, or B, they're actually messengers that are saying you need to fucking get your shit straight, motherfuckers. This is why we were created, to fucking...
Here's what I've heard, and this is my base assumption when we're talking about anything that's far out, wacky, or something that you can't just kind of like prove, like here's the physical evidence right here in my hand, boom, it's proven. I believe everything that I know to be true is in fact wrong, and I simply haven't seen the evidence yet that proves that how wrong I am.
Yeah.
So what I do is just basically act on a bunch of assumptions, and as soon as those assumptions become debunked by somebody who has superior quality of the information, that's cool. If I've been believing in something that's wrong, great. Now I'm right again because I listen to you and I learn from it, right? That's the best way to operate in this society, because let's face facts here. I don't know everything. I don't think anybody who knows everything. In fact, my assumption is that the person who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing, and the person who thinks he knows nothing probably knows enough.
No, man, I'm totally behind you there. And this is an opinion that a lot of people don't agree with. But, yeah, I think if you admit you're ignorant about a lot of the facts, it actually opens you up to more learning. Because
you know everything, then you can't learn, right?
Well, no, this is one thing that Pat have argued about before, but that's like you have to remain open-minded and realize you don't know everything, man. And that way you still stay open to learning. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I agree. It's like that Eastern philosophy, you have to empty your teacup before I can fill it. Like, you have to be willing to listen to someone who's crazy, and you know what, they might not be right, but at least hear people out and not just immediately judge someone. Oh, they're talking about aliens, they're crazy, you know.
All right, hey guys, it's the end of the show, man. I want to thank you all for coming on the show, man.
Thank you,
Patrick Barnes.
Good night, guys.
All right,
thank you. And I'll just outro myself. I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show. Check me out at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
All right, man, thanks guys. Have a good one. For being afraid, travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, you'd invite everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the car that would say, guys, we might be going into overdrive. You guys still there?
Yep.
Yeah, man. Anyway, that was the official ending of the show, but sometimes if I got a good stream going, Blog Talk will let me keep going. So I don't know, man. Eastwood, I can't believe I had never heard of you before. I mean, we're like kindred spirits. I mean, good shit. How dare you fuck How dare you, Snake Man, keep this guy's secret from me, man? I mean, what the fuck?
I thought I was sharing on Facebook his news, his new page, his recent success, his growing popularity in New Zealand, and his growing listening audience. Trite was just on Skype here. I was just chatting with her for a second. She said, "Oh, was that Vinny Eastwood?" I said, "Yes, the one and only." She says, "Oh, I listened to his show," and I was like, "Cool, you know, like so." Lots of people are tuned in. The right, smart-thinking people are tuned in. And, yeah, I get his feed daily on Facebook, and I enjoy his links, and it's good stuff, Vinny. You're doing good stuff out there.
Well, you know, you got to operate under one rule only, have some fucking fun. If you're not having fun, the audience isn't having fun, and your content sucks.
Yeah, that's kind of my motto as well. Like I said, man, I think kindred spirits. I mean, that's why I'm saying it. I can't believe it's taken me this long to hear Vincent Eastwood.
Well, it's high time that you two met, and I understand that you're in New Zealand and you don't get out much, Vinny, and Charles, he's in St. Louis, Missouri, in the United States, and you know, putting you two on a plane, put you in the studio together is a great expense for me. I'm willing to do that. But I just figured that we'd start just initially just to perhaps have a Skype interview and see how that went. You guys should actually do a double show together.
Yeah, I mean, we've been known to do fucking simulcasts over here, Eastwood. Yeah, man. But no, that's the whole philosophy of this show, man. We try to have fun, fucking have cocktails during the show and just talk shit. It's like a meeting at the pub almost, you know?
I have kind of like a more serious purpose to it. It's like so a lot of people get into the truth movement because they want to wake people up. I don't want to wake people up so much as I want to help those people who are already awake deal with it.
Vinny, how did you wake up, man? Like, what was your sort of epiphany, if you will?
I think it was probably when I was working for a bit of a psycho in the in the telco sector. I'd worked in three jobs and number one sales on the board, number one this, number one that, blah, 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 and just keep getting shafted over and being out of pocket. And I once wrote a 17-page essay about what was wrong with the company. And instead of actually improving the company, they paid me $3,000 to leave within the next 5 minutes. My last job that I kicked out on, I managed to score $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers for a month and a half's work as a bonus to my
lucky enough
as a bonus to my original pay packet. And I was watching a lot of documentaries at that time. Like, I must have gone through about maybe 100 plus 160 plus documentaries inside of a few months, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And as soon as I got those shopping vouchers, I just quit my job because these fucks were just insane. Like, he'd call me up at, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night on a Friday while I'm at my friend's house having a beer and tell me to get up, get off the couch, grab a pen, put down the number of this client, and then call him on Monday.
Corporate soldier. You are a corporate soldier, my friend.
And I was just like, well, fuck this shit, man, because that was the third job in a row where I've been winding up getting shafted by some cock-swangling, jism-stained fuck-nugget cunt. And I wasn't prepared to deal with it anymore.
Are we allowed to say that in Canada?
Yeah. And then I quit, started going out with a camera and a Mac. I went into the fucking mall and bought them up with that. Went out, started making my own news, and haven't turned back since. I got introduced to a guy on YouTube, Mitch Santel. He had a really popular channel called After America that wound up getting pulled, incidentally, after he managed to build up like about 10,000 subscribers. And then he got me a show co-hosting with this guy named Brent Johnson, the voice of freedom. They had a show called The Global Freedom Report on American Freedom Radio. He was originally co-hosting it with Dave Von Kleist of 9/11 in Plain Sight. And the owner of the network is Alex Jones's former producer. And they had me on for a week or two, and the show was kind of like lagging in the ratings before I came on, and then it jumped right up. You know, people were really responding, calling in, and happy with my performance and shit like that. And so then they canned the show, and then 3 weeks later gave me a call and offered it all to me. And it's been like that for the last 16, 18 months now.
You have a very
you woke up and
he has a very exuberant personality. I can see that, yeah.
So you woke up essentially after 9/11, correct?
Oh, long after, yeah.
Okay, same here. It was around Katrina was when the sort of lights went on for me that something was really wrong in South
Park. That was a bitch, man. I mean, that was fucking horrible. I mean, that was a total fucking FEMA exercise, man. That fucking shit was crazy. People were getting gunned down in the fucking streets. I mean, and this is after I was already woken up. I couldn't believe, like people weren't getting it. I mean, I was like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, well, the thing is here that it's cognitive dissonance. You know what that is?
Yeah, yeah, it's a fucking TV show. Right. No.
Completely different. It's a psychological reaction. Usually what people do is they have this kind of comfort zone,
and
they build it up with their ideas.
What I'm saying is that term comes from the theater. To really enjoy theater, you have to have a space of cognitive dissonance. You have to put your believing faculties on ignore so you can enjoy the play. It's actually a theatrical term, man.
I've never heard that before. But anyway, when you're trying to let's talk about, like, say 9/11 was an inside job. You know how some people, they just either don't listen or they start attacking you, sort of thing. That's what cognitive dissonance does. Is when you've got this mindset that the government loves me.
What is it? Something disbelief? Suspension? No, I was thinking of suspension of disbelief. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking. No, you're right. I was thinking of suspension of disbelief. But yeah, go ahead.
So it's basically you've built up this you're very comfortable with the fact that the government takes care of you, and somebody comes up to you with information that you've believed the entire time that the government's been taking care of you, and they suddenly tell you, look, 9/11 was an inside job, your government doesn't care about you, in fact they want to kill you. The shock of learning something of such damaging impact forces the mind to react and protect itself, much like the immune system will react to a virus and protect itself. And so it does that in one of two ways, by either getting away from it as quickly as it can, or by attempting to attack and destroy the thing that is actually telling it this uncomfortable thing.
Correct.
That's what cognitive dissonance is.
It's really the feeling, that tension that comes from holding two conflicting thoughts in the mind at the same time.
Yeah.
Two conflicting beliefs, especially when you're presented with something like 9/11, and that's how I experienced cognitive dissonance.
Katrina,
it was like, how could the government do this after I've been told that the government is my caretaker, and now they're calling American citizens refugees in the streets of Katrina? And the lights went off, and that's when I started looking at Alex Jones. That's the first day I went to Loose Change. I was looking for something on the internet to explain this madness, and I just came across Loose Change. And I went into literally cognitive dissonance for at least 6 months, where I would wake up depressed. I was watching so many videos on this stuff by this point that I was having heart palpitations listening to Alex Jones, because what I thought he was saying sounded seditious. It sounded totally contrarian to my long-held conditioned beliefs.
This is where I sort of came from, I guess, a more artistic background. I was always into communications and playing music, did some acting, stand-up comedy. So I knew about suspension of disbelief, and I knew how these fucking PR guys basically form a theater, a theater of the mind, whatever you want to call it. And that's another thing they rely heavily on, because it's all it's all a bullshit movie, much like in theater, suspension of disbelief. And so people watch this shit on their news channels But I was wrong about the cognitive dissonance. Yeah, that's a whole different thing. But it's still kind of the same thing, though. There's a little bit of a difference, but suspension of disbelief is like when you go to a movie and you allow yourself to say, okay, this is a movie, I'm gonna enjoy it. That's or a play or whatever. This is suspension of disbelief, and that's what I'm talking about.
Bob Livingston wrote an article called "Cognitive Dissonance" on InfoWars. On October 10th, it's kind of synchronistic that Vinny brings this up right now. And in the fourth paragraph down, it says, cognitive dissonance is a psychological conflict resulting from incongruous beliefs and attitudes held simultaneously. Totalitarian regimes are successful when their subjects reach that state. And it's an interesting article on...
I'll just pop a little YouTube video of mine. It's a minute and 40 seconds of me just explaining cognitive dissonance. It's called Why Can't People Believe 9/11 Was an Inside Job?
Perfect. I got that right here in front of me. Excellent. Excellent. I'm going to bookmark that right now. Thank you, Vinnie.
So I think we're still on air, man. So what's the title? Go ahead and plug the whole fucking video on YouTube. What's the title of it and your YouTube channel and whatnot?
Okay, it's youtube.com/ Mr. News, MR News, Guerrilla Media, GUERILLA Media. So it's Guerrilla like a soldier, not gorilla like an ape. And I've been on the streets for a good 3 years now, kicking it and just basically ambushing various political scum, but primarily... what happens in your community is you'll have people who are doing talks, you know, like local activists, community leaders, etc., who will bring in people like Dr. Paul Connett, who's the world's leading authority on fluoride toxicity, and they won't have anybody to come and film because the people who would come and film don't really care to film it, and if they do care to film it, they can't upload it, and if they do care to upload it, they won't edit it. So what I do is I show up there and I film them, I edit it, I upload it, I design a DVD, and then I give those DVD designs and labels to them and a disc image so that if they want to, they can sell that DVD now and produce some revenue for the causes that they represent. And, of course, I sell the DVDs on my website as well at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There's a little link there for DVDs at the top. And what I find is that it used to be that you can't make money out of the truth, and I want that to change because if we're going to have a different society that goes past the psychopathic business model, you have to be able to create a genuine revenue source out of truth and justice and information so that people actually have a dollar value on that which they truly value and are truly willing to get. But at the same time, I give those things away for cost price, and I suggest to people you can donate the full amount of what the retail price would be, and you have a choice about that. It depends how much money you got in your pocket, because we don't want to deny you access to information just because you ain't got the cash to cough up for it sort of thing. And if you really do support what people like myself and various other people in the truth movement are doing, you don't need to just donate something. You can actually have something for your donation that you can copy and spread around. It's all about taking the pressure off other people's shoulders. You know, Paul Connett travels the freaking world, and he's been on the Alex Jones Show, and he emailed me the other day, and he said, Vinny, nobody has ever made a better edit or cut of any of the presentations that I've done ever. This is the best one that's ever been done. And I looked around on YouTube, and sure enough, nobody else had bothered. It wasn't that difficult. It took me a day, 2 days or so of just working behind, you know, just editing it together with iMovie. He gave me a few suggestions. I uploaded it twice, three times sort of thing, and nothing too bad happened. And the fact that I just made that effort is really quite a rare thing. Because often people don't want to make the effort for anybody else. They only want to really want to make it for themselves with the fame and the infamy and what have you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm closing on 150 videos on YouTube right now, but they are such weird, wild, drunken fucking... we play a lot of live music. We've done a lot of weird clips from this talk show, but I don't know. I never feel right about asking for donations. I don't know why. I just... maybe it's...
come on. Stick your hand out.
You bring up a very important point because I'd consider to be one of those really...
Gimp, though. I'm a fucking gimp, and I get a gimp check every month. I get fucking disabilities, so maybe that's why I don't really fucking care about the donations. That could have a lot to do with it, but...
It's time, it's effort, it's energy. You do a show every day.
But I have so much goddamn... I sell banner ads on my fucking website, but I don't really make shit off of that. But I don't know why, man. I don't know if it's pride or stupid bullshit pride or what, but...
It's part of controlled opposition, mate, okay? These banksters make money off of selling bullshit to people, and you've gotten to the point where people will criticize you if you start trying to make money off the truth. That's how they keep you weak.
Well,
that's how they keep you dependent.
Yourself.
Don't get me wrong. I have actually quite a history of panhandling. I always have Tony on the show.
Finally, the truth comes out.
And we have often gone out onto the street with his guitar and my harmonica, and we have opened the guitar case many a times on the street corner, and we have begged for fucking nickels and dimes. But we just did it for fun because we didn't really need the money per se, but we just did it because it was fun. We played on the street corner begging for nickels and dimes, panhandling, just to see how much money we could make. And sometimes we did okay, sometimes we didn't. But I don't know, man. I just feel weird about doing it online, you know. I don't know why.
And you are. There's a lot of people
That being said, I sell ad space on my Blog Talk fucking site.
So you're not inherently against it then? It's like cannabis. It's like cannabis prohibitionists, for example. They'll say, cannabis is evil. You know, everyone needs to be locked up. And you go to them. Okay, well, do you want to lock up your son and your husband and your daughter as well, who I've smoked cannabis with? No, you don't want to, do you?
I don't really believe
what you're saying.
I just do it in a more sneaky way, I guess. I sell ad space on my fucking website, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm talking about more of a grander scheme here. So instead of playing one aspect of a pyramid, I play all three angles, right? You've got to think about what are the three main pillars of society. There's politics, media, and business, which incidentally are where the American Medical Journal defines where you will most likely find the greatest amount of psychopaths.
That is amazing you mentioned the three pillars. I mean, I've actually written a couple novels. They're futuristic sci-fi novels, but that's one of the main themes of those books is that there are three pillars that control society. But in my books, it's the aristocracy, the warriors, and the priest class.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it doesn't matter really how you're doing it. It just depends in what society who holds the most power and weight.
It's a constant. Whenever there's a society in power, there are always like three pillars, man. Whether it's the aristocracy, the warriors, and the priest class, or what have you, there's always like three.
So inherently, here's the problem. Here's the challenge over history. If you want to actually overcome the New World Order that always used that triple pillar system to fuck everybody over, it means that you need to change every single pillar and the way it's structured simultaneously in order to create any lasting change. For example, with business, there's currently only one bottom line, which is to make money. You change that and you say, okay, we now have three bottom lines. You have to make money and you have to not fuck people over, and you have to not absolutely destroy the environment when you're doing it, bro. You know, take some fucking responsibility. Don't dump fluoride into the lakes and shit.
It's a goddamn illusion given to us from the fucking Federal Reserve and the Central...
It's a spell. It's a spell, Cassidy.
It's a fucking illusion given to us from the central banks. And when I say central
banks, again,
I don't
that involves
the Federal Reserve of the United States. I mean... any country where they try to install a central bank, like Pat says, it's a fucking spell. It's bullshit.
Yeah, we've got a central bank here in New Zealand now. They call it the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. Ooh, and we had this piece of legislation to enshrine it called the Reserve Bank Act. Ooh, and apparently it's owned by the government. Ooh, and yet it acts exactly like the private Federal Reserve does. And guess who's always appointed to the boards of this bank? Private fucking bankers. From private banking cartels.
Right.
So what's the difference between owning something that fucks you over and having somebody else owning something that fucks you over?
So that brings us to a very interesting point. Do you believe there is validity in owning gold and silver, or do you think even that is a form of currency that is sort of an illusion? I honestly hate to bring up Freeman right now, but I think he had a very good notion when he thought up this friendship agenda, because friendship is a way more valuable currency. Your homies, man, is a way more valuable currency than this whole notion of collecting gold or silver.
Well, The more important thing than material wealth to manifest is intellectual and physical and social wealth, okay? Now, these are the things that will actually always be there within you when whatever situation you come into. Like, people are stockpiling food. You're going to want toilet paper more than you want food if there's a massive collapse.
Right.
You need to know how to survive in yourself.
But you'll want your friends more than that. I mean, what did we do before this artificial currency popped up and this artificial notion of gold and silver being our fucking main form of currency? It was all about tribalism and not being a dick and having some friends that can help you out at the end of the day. I tend to believe in this currency of friendship. This is why I often have like 90 people on my fucking show every night, because
get this.
The currency of friendship.
I survive like almost totally on donations, like basically every single time. Like, I can't go out drinking because I don't have money to buy drinks with. But every single time when I want to get wasted, something and somebody always turns up to buy me some. Right? It's really strange. Whenever I need a new camera, boom, it gets donated to me. Whenever I need a new computer, boom, there it is. Whenever I need food, boom, there it is. Whenever I need fuel tickets, boom, there it is. And it's simply because I dedicate myself to others. And as a result, they kind of reward me very directly.
That's what I'm saying. This is the true currency, man. Friendship. Fuck these fiat dollars, the fucking gold and silver. Fuck it all, man. It's all about fucking, you know, establishing contacts and being somewhat of a friend to another person.
That's what they're most afraid of.
They are. Very afraid. If we're all together, then they are going to hang separate.
Barter. It's all about bartering.
Those are ridiculous. That barter is a fucking ridiculous system because, you know, cash is actually the best form of trade that has ever been devised. However, it's controlled by central banks as opposed to regulated by Congress. In Singapore, they have an upper and a lower echelon to where the currency can be valued at, so that people have a minimum expectation and a maximum expectation of how their money works. So that way they never get over inflation and they never have any of those problems.
Well, my whole contention is that humanity lived for a long time without a currency system. How did they...
Well, we can't go back. We can't go back. They always had a currency system of some kind. It was either... You're either going to live in a fucking cave with a fucking spear, or you're going to live in a high-rise apartment with a big-screen TV, you know? And one is the currency of money, and the other is the currency of nature preserve. pick what you want. Personally, I'd much rather have a decent, warm place to live with electricity that I can use very, very easily, just with this simple commodity called money that is regulated by my government to make sure that it doesn't screw me over or get me into disproportionate amounts of debt for absolutely nothing.
But it did.
Well, on this,
because we've lost control of the issuance of our currency.
Agree and disagree with you. When I say that, I'm not being wishy-washy, but you don't have to fucking suck some guy's cock to fucking get an apartment or some shit like that. You just have to be a fucking halfway reasonable.
Now, you have to be able to perform a service or provide a product. Now,
the point is, I would rather live in a cave with a spear than to have to suck some guy's cock to get a fucking place that has fucking air conditioning and heating. Go ahead, over.
Yeah, well, see, that's a very extreme defectional way of looking at it, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But here's my point.
What you said, though.
I know, but we're talking about extremes here, and extremes don't matter in the moment. What matters in the moment is the discussion and the learning of what's actually being discussed here. Like, for example, the issuance of currency, the only reason why it's become a bad thing is because we gave the issuing power of currency to banksters and criminal scumbags who don't regulate it responsibly. Kennedy got shot because he started producing U.S. notes as opposed to Federal Reserve notes, that kind of thing. This is what people kill over. The United States economy grew on average 10% per year under a government-owned and regulated by Congress currency system, and there's no reason why we can't have that back.
Same thing. Nixon tried to take us back to a silver standard, and he got fucking kicked out of office, man.
Yeah, exactly, but because when you've got a fiat currency, it's actually very convenient because it means that you do have the ability to instantly just pop out of thin air money that you need for a transaction, as opposed to going, we need to somehow liquefy and sell X amount of gold on a barter system in order to barter for some other commodity in order to buy that commodity that we wanted in the first place. With cash, it's just boom, it's there, it's done. And that's what liquidity is about. It's about facilitating trade within an economy. But what they're doing now is they're doing this quantitative easing and derivatives trading. All of this stuff was made illegal after Glass-Steagall was passed after the first depression, because in the first depression
back up and talk about Glass-Steagall, man, because I think a lot of people won't know them what the fuck you're talking about.
Okay, Glass-Steagall was an act that was instituted after the Great Depression. Okay, now the reason why the Great Depression happened is because stock traders were giving people up to 10 times what the money they could put down in stock. So you put down $10, I'll give you $100 worth of stock. In the roaring 20s, many people started making a lot of money off of these type of derivatives tradings, and it ultimately called the end of the era and turned it into a depression.
Glass-Steagall actually went back during the time of Lincoln, didn't it? Or am I wrong?
No, I'm not sure. But basically, what the banksters did is they poured all their money into gold and silver, real assets, to retain their wealth, and then they called in all the loans en masse that they'd made out of nothing to all the stock traders. That's why people were jumping out of buildings and stuff, and that's what caused the Great Depression. Now, in 1999, Glass-Steagall, which prevented that kind of derivatives trading, was repealed, and all of a sudden, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Merrill Lynch, which my prime sinister was the head of derivatives trading for 2 years on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, they started trading huge amounts of what they call credit default swaps. Basically what that was is if you give a bad loan to somebody, what you can do is you can package all those bad loans. Let's say you've got $1 billion worth of bad loans or something that you know you're not going to get the money back on. You package them all and you call it a super high payoff hedge fund, and you give it a risk rating. Now, they paid off the ratings agencies and said that, these things are really, really good. They're sound. They're sweet. Here, take $50 million. Chink. Sweet as. And so everybody, including these large hedge fund managers and Bernie Madoff types, started investing heavily in these sorts of things. Before they knew it, by the 2008, $1.4 quadrillion worth of derivatives. A quadrillion is $1,000 trillion. The entire world's economy is worth less than a quadrillion. Okay, so what they've done is they've mortgaged the entire future of humanity in a few short years through monster derivatives trade.
And this brings up what Glass-Steagall prevented. And this brings up an interesting point. These guys are way more bankrupt than we'll ever be. They're fucking quadrillions in the hole when maybe we're fucking a couple thousand in the hole. These guys are not excellent businessmen. They're total failures at businessmen.
Well, actually, they're actually doing exactly what they wanted to do. And you were quite correct, Charles, in your initial assertion that Glass-Steagall was formed initially in 1933, and that Glass-Steagall Act was primarily responsible for the repeal of it, the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. Is seen as taking that Chinese wall between the investment banker and the commercial banks and allowing these people to serve was a conflict of interest. And some economists believe that this repeal directly contributed to the severity of the financial crisis of 2007-2011.
My whole contention is that these fucking elite bankers and elite whatnots are way more in the hole than we'll ever fucking be.
They're
quadrillions in the hole. Meanwhile, we're like thousands of dollars in the hole, and they blame it on us.
No, that's not true. What they do is they put all the debt on us, and they put all the interest on them. So that way, they never actually get in any debt. The World Bank, IMF, for example, what they do is they take signatures and land and real assets as securities. This is what was discussed in the white paper leaks of the World Bank in 1991.
There will never be enough debt to pay off the fucking shit that they started.
That's the whole point. But that gets us into perpetual debt, not them. They're just using that as a pretext to steal everybody's real assets off them with fake debt. Okay, in Brazil, for example, in the 80s, they borrowed $1 billion.
A point I got to make: these banks were fucking quadrillions of dollars into debt, and they came to the American government, and they're like, you guys have got to pay us off. We're too big to fail. And so they took the fucking tax dollars from the American taxpayers to bail the motherfuckers out because they were quadrillions of dollars into debt.
Okay, exactly. Now who's in debt? The American people or the banks?
Yeah, but my point is...
See, that's how they did it. They did a switcheroo on you.
We're way more...
Transference of wealth.
Yeah, that's socialism. Socialism is when you you get everybody who's fucking up and you give them a helping hand and at the expense of everybody else. That's not capitalism at all.
No.
You know, that's the real point here, is that these people have played a good one step, two step, three step program. And as I was going to explain about Brazil, they borrowed $1 billion to build their capital city, Brasilia. And in order to do so, they had to sign up to a World Bank 111-point plan, which included privatization of all government services into companies that the World Bank was affiliated with. And they also had to put down a security of the entire Amazon basin as a security on the loan. And then they paid off the dictator of or elected government official or what have you of Brazil at the time to not pay off the loan. And so then they transferred the ownership of the entire Amazon basin to the World Bank for $1 billion that they made up on a computer and charged extortionist 30% loan rate.
I hate that you say that about Brazil only because the Brazil upper class is so sexy, but the Brazilian underclass are living in shacks, man. But and I'm a huge fan of the Brazilian Girls. Have you ever heard of that band, Brazilian Girls?
No.
Oh, man. They're great.
All daughters of drug cartel smugglers, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure as well.
Paula Abdul, a daughter of a drug...
She's a daughter of the FARC guerrillas.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm sure.
Taking my poster off the wall right now.
Well, see, this is the problem about communism is that people don't, they're not able to identify it. It used to be like back in the Cold War and whatnot, everybody knew what communism was because it was everywhere. You know, they were unionists and blah, 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 blah. They're all socialists and communists. And now it's just, it's normal. We've had socialism being brought in slowly and incrementally over time that now we don't recognize how fucking communist our countries really are.
Hey man, speaking of Brazil, I'm going to play a quick song here, man. You guys will love this. Brazilian Girls, Hike. Just a quick song, and we'll come right back right after this.
You want to join Andy Stitt in the convo if you want.
What?
It's posted his name, Andy Dot Stitt.
Oh, man, no, don't do this to me.
You have to put more batteries in the radio and bring it closer to the speaker,
right,
to the microphone.
You can, dude, you can download a thingy called Soundflower 2 if you've got a Mac, and you can turn your computer.
I am so lazy.
Thank you.
Phil is a powder keg right now, man. Go ahead over to me. Because there's such a fucking division between the haves and the have-nots in Brazil. It's a fucking powder keg. Go ahead over.
Can you name me a country that currently exists that doesn't fit those criteria also?
Well, China. No, that's not true either. China is a burgeoning elite class of millionaires. Yeah? Yeah. But would they be the majority? No, they'd be quite the minority, but that's, again, the world over.
No, I mean, I mean here in the States, yeah. I mean, you can make that case here in the States, but still, we, even amongst socialist nations, we are the most heavily socialist nation, and in the respect that the poor are wiped off the street and they're stuck in the fucking housing units or fucking insane asylums or hospitals.
I wouldn't call that socialism. I call it eugenics. That's what drives that's what drives a lot of American policy.
But still, we make it look clean when it comes to the fucking news cycle.
Yeah, I see in New Zealand here we've got what did we do? We gave an extra $20,000 to the local council during the Rugby World Cup over here, so that they could kick all the homeless people off the street, you know, just for extra security stuff. You know, homeless person, get out of here. We want to make it look nice for the tourists.
Yeah, put him in the project. Put him either A in the projects or B in a nut ward or C in the hospital.
See, we don't even have projects. We don't even have nut wards anymore either. You can't be institutionalized. I mean, there's psychiatric facilities where if somebody complains and whatnot, you'll be locked up there, sure. But you can't institutionalize people long term to a large extent. So what they do is when they do institutionalize them, they pump them up on fucking like 8 different drugs or something like that, completely destroy their minds, and then they spend the rest of their life unable to hold a job and just on the street. And then somebody comes along to kick them off, and the best they can hope for is to go back to that situation again.
That's
do they have group home
that's
situations?
I mean, Americans, we love to pretend we're not socialist, but at the same time, we will clean the fucking streets and either A, kill people in jail, B, send them to the fucking nut ward, C, put them in the projects, or D, whatever, man.
Well, it's just like communism and fascism are just two different branches of socialism. So what the fuck is the difference? You know, honestly, we live in a socialist countries, don't we? We live in this thing called a democracy, which basically means we're fucked because nobody who is of any really relevance will ever get up there, and those people with absolutely no relevance to the power over the people will wind up using that power against them rather than for them. So it's a set-up, totally rigged game. And how exactly are you supposed to win a rigged game? I found it out. You can cheat.
Yeah, like everyone else.
Yep,
I've cheated once or twice. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, this is how psychopaths get their way to the top. They just cheat, fuck everybody else over, and nobody stands in their way in their climb to conquest.
Well, hey, this brings up an interesting point. I mean, they call a lot of us psychopaths that choose our own way and sort of pay our own bills through various means. They call us psychopaths, but meanwhile, it's the only option open to us. Go ahead.
Well, that's not true at all. I mean, a psychopath is somebody who just has no empathy and no concern if they hurt or damage other people's feelings. They don't feel any loss. They don't feel any grief. They don't feel any guilt.
What do you think of this whole notion that they're trying to build up sort of a gangster fucking government, a gangster rule of the norm?
I say that they already have it, and they have had it for quite some time, except now it's becoming far more realistic to the average person. They didn't realize that there were gangsters behind the scenes, and now they've conditioned people to accept gangsters even right in front of the street.
And gangsters at the top of the fucking government. Yeah, it's like,
Yeah. Gangsters in government and gangsters on the street that enforce them. It's exactly like it was in Hitler's day, how he had the brown shirts beating the living Shiite Muslim out of anybody who talked against him.
Right, and for example, we have Obama, and once again, I'm neither left nor right, because Bush had the same thing going. But now it's almost like Obama has his hit list out there. You know, he's like, hey, I can have a hit list assassination squad, and fuck you all if you don't like it. Meanwhile, Bush had the same thing going. So did the fucking Clintons, by God. Nowadays, they're throwing this hit list in our face. They're saying, yeah, he can have a secret hit list. He can assassinate American citizens.
Obama has got away with things that Bush would have never gotten away with.
But Bush got away with a lot of shit too, as well.
Yeah, I know. But Obama, in his first year in office, spent more money than all U.S. presidents ever throughout history combined.
And here's my hit list. Okay. So it's illegal. So fucking what? I have a hit list. Motherfuckers, I can knock off American citizens at will. But
that's the power of the presidency.
But Bush,
oh, the great seal and the great fesh.
Bush was doing the same thing, and so was Clinton. And Clinton was a boss hog fucking town lord, man. So was Bush before him. He was. But I got to admit, Senior Bush was at least sort of sneaky about it. But after Senior Bush, they just sort of were all in your face about, all right, here's the hit list, motherfuckers.
It's kind of hard to hide tyranny. It's kind of hard to put lipstick on a pig. And, you know, now it's so blatant since 9/11 that we turned into a police state that, you know, they just might as well tell you that, you know, yes, we are protecting the poppy fields in Afghanistan with Marines. That's why we're there, part of the reason we're not leaving. So there's a whole lot of dichotomy going on. And
get on my bad side, you're on my hit list, and it's perfectly illegal.
It's perfectly illegal, and I don't care what Congress says.
I thought this is called a fascist state. I thought that there were three lists. There's like a yellow, a blue, and a red list, or something like that.
That was the old Patriot. There was some truth to that. That they did at one point have those lists, and or that FEMA had those lists for rounding up groups of people.
Dissonance and things like that, and because of Facebook, they know where we are, they know when we go to the bathroom, etc., and they've got all the smart meters everywhere. So, you know who the first, allegedly the first country to do a census was the Nazi Germany, and that's how they managed to round up all the Jews so easily and so quickly, because they sent a census round.
Actually, that goes back to the Old Testament. They did a census in the Old Testament, man, and like, no, this goes back to fucking ancient Judaism, man. They did. And I hate to bring the Jews in, because I know other countries did this before this, and this is one of the reasons they were punished by God, because they performed a census in the Old Testament. And God was not about that whatsoever. And so that's one of the reasons he punished the ancient Jews and sold them into slavery to Xerxes and the Babylonians.
Wow.
And then punished the Egyptians for not letting them go.
Honestly, if you read the Old Testament.
One hand he giveth, and with the other he taketh away. I get it.
Right.
They talk about how, like, the government of the Jewish people one day decided to fucking take a census and number how many people there were, and for some reason God punished them for taking a census. It's weird, man. It
goes to show you that God is censusless.
Yeah, he God does not like a census. Yeah, no, that for real. Eastwood is right. Eastwood, God doesn't did not like the census whatsoever. He punished the Jews after they decided to fucking take a census.
Well, again, the Jews pop up again.
No, it's not the Jews. It's human weakness. It's a human weakness. It's like
what, being Jewish is human weakness?
No, it's like King David.
I'm just kidding, man.
No, it's like King David took over and he wanted to number the fucking tribes. And that's one of the reasons that God totally punished King David. If you recall...
King David went around going, one potato, two potato, three potato, four.
No, if you recall, King David's own son rose up against him and drove... not to mention Saul, but that was one of his punishments. God said that someone in your own family will rise up against you. And that was not only after Bathsheba, but it was after he decided to take a census of the people.
There you go.
Fair enough. Well, in that case, you know, there should be another billboard and camper van campaign instead of the end of the world. It's anti-census.
No, I'm saying, once again, this is not a judgment of the Jewish people. This is a judgment of human nature. A king rises to power, even though he is the chosen of God, but he has human weakness, so he wants to know the numbers of the tribe, and then he takes Bathsheba as his wife, which you guys know that whole story, and then the prophet rises up and he's like, David, you're fucked. but still David was chosen by God, and he still ended up defeating his son, but he was not happy about it. He grieved over it.
Much like we do now.
A story of human weakness. It's not a story of Jewish weakness. It's a story human weakness.
Yeah, we got you. It's when you think about it, really, the Bible is just really an annotation of human history, okay? I mean, I videoed this guy named Jonathan Gray. He's an archaeologist here in New Zealand, and they found the real Noah's Ark. They found it, and it had fucking titanium rivets building it up.
No kidding.
Tens of thousands of them. Highly advanced technology they were using back then. It takes 6,000-7,000 degrees Fahrenheit to be able to work titanium into anything. And they had these high-tech composite metals and everything like that, and all of that. It was unbelievable. And
I have a 10:30 here that I have to go to, and I've enjoyed being on the air.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thank you, and I'm recording this, so Charles, we'll speak to you tomorrow, and thank you for having me on, Charles.
All right, man, let's close it out. Guys, great show, man. Thanks for coming on air, man.
I didn't want you to stop. I just had to tune out. I have to go.
Well, it's time for me to put the headphones on and listen to Rammstein.
Oh, very good.
Stein.
This is Dr. America. Okay, guys, have a great evening.
Okay, thank you very much.
Doing 3 hours of radio.
Hi, Vinny.
Come on.
It was gone.
All right, bro. See you.